Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, thank you for tuning into our program, Do You Really Know Your Bible, with Apostle Dr. C. N. Terrell, Presiding General Overseer of Apostolic Truth Ministries Worldwide. Let us pray. Eternal Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we could come to learn from your word. We pray you are blessed now. Have your way in Yahweh's name. Hallelujah. We are talking about the seven assembly ages, and this is part 20. Which is Messiah praises his own. Revelation 2:2-3. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how they cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and have borne and have patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. How beautiful the Savior praises and condemned his children. He takes full account of their final spiritual attitudes and behaviors. He knows that there is weakness among them, but as yet he does not cry out against it. Isn't that just like the Savior? He knows how to encourage us in the right matters and discourage us in the wrong matters. We could all learn a good lesson right here in the running the assembly in our families. And better still, we could all learn a good lesson in that Yahweh deals well with each of us in exactly this way. Don't ever be discouraged, brethren of Yahweh, for Yahweh is not unprecious to forget your labors of love. Whatever we do, even giving a cup of cold water to someone has a reward and blessings from Yahweh. I know thy works, thy labors, and thy patience. As he walks in the midst of his assembly, he is aware of the suffering of his people. He cares, and as it is in the days of the captivity in Egypt, when he heard their cries, he who never changes still hears the cries of the oppressed. As he walks among them, the very words, labor, significance, a weariness, through expression, Yahweh's people do not only work for him in labor of love, but they suffer for him with joy. They are patient in hearing, are bearing the yoke. This first age suffered great persecution. It had to work hard to preach the gospel and shed forth truth. Their high calling in preaching the gospel and shed forth truth. Their high calling in life was to serve Yahweh. And when their hope in life were blighted, they were patient and committed all to him who had promised a everlasting recompense in heaven for what they had given up for him on earth. I think we ought to stop here and deal with the thought that Yahweh's people have always been and always will be persecuted. You know that Genesis is the book of beginnings, and what you find started there will carry right on through the Revelation and never change. There we see that Cain persecuted and killed Abel because the latter pleased Yahweh. Then we see a perfect picture in Abraham, son of the flesh, Ishmael, who teased and fought the son of promise, Isaac. And there was Esau, who hated Jacob and would have killed him, but had not Yahweh intervened. In the restored covenant, we find Judas betraying Yahweh Hosea, while the religious orders of the first century attempted to destroy the early believers. The children of this world, controlled by the devil, hated the children of Yahweh, who were controlled by the Spirit. No matter how just and upright a brother is before the public and how precious he is to his fellow men, doing not but good, let him confess Messiah as his Savior and acknowledge the operation of the gift of the consecrated Spirit in tongues, prophecy, healings, and miracles, and he will be condemned. The spirit of this world hates the spirit of Yahweh, and because it can't overcome the spirit of Yahweh, it tries to destroy the vessel in whom the spirit of truth dwells. Persecution and trials are a natural, normal part of the brethren's life. There is only one thing you can do about them. Commit them all to Yahweh. Judge not, and leave their outward and final judgment to him. Thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. These Ephesians believe that Yahweh's people ought to be righteous. According to this verse, they took steps to keep the bond unleavened from sin, the body unleavened from sin. Most evidently, the apostasy had already started. Sin had entered into the assembly, but they were beating to the word of Paul when he said to put away the wicked from among them. They were a separated people. They had come out of the world, and now they weren't going to let the world enter among them. They would not put up with sin in the assembly. Righteousness wasn't a phrase with them or a figure of speech. It was a way of life. Thou hast tried them that say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. My, this is a blunt statement. Thou hast tried them who call themselves apostles. Isn't that presumptuous? What right have a people to try those who call themselves apostles? And how did they try them? Oh, I love this. This is here in Galatians 1:8. But though we are a messenger from heaven, preach another gospel unto you than that which we have already preached unto you, let him be accursed. It was the apostles who brought the original word to the people. That original word would not change, not even a dot or dash of it. Paul knew it was Yahweh who had spoken to him. So he said, even if I come and try to give a second revelation, try to make one little change in what had originally, let me be accursed. You see, Paul knew the first revelation was correct. Yahweh cannot give a first revelation, then a second revelation. If he did, he would be changing his mind. He can give a revelation, then add to it, as he did in the Garden of Eden when he promised the seed to the woman and later designated that seed had to come through Abraham, and then later said it would come by the same bloodlines in David. But it was the same revelation. It not only gave the people more information to help them receive and understand it, but Yahweh's word cannot change. The seed cannot exactly as revealed. Hallelujah. And yet, what these false apostles were doing, they came with their own word. These Ephesians knew that the word as Paul had taught it. They were full of the consecrated spirit by the laying on of Paul's hands. They looked those apostles in the eye and said, you are not saying that Paul said. You are therefore false. Oh, that sets my heart on fire. Get back to the word. It is not you that really tries the apostles and prophets and teachers. It is the word that tries him. One of these days, there is going to come a prophet to the Laodicean assembly age, and you will know if he is the real one sent from Yahweh or not. Yes, you will hear, for it is of Yahweh. He will be in that word
exactly as Yahweh gave it to Paul. He won't deviate from that word or for a moment, not by one iota. In the last age, when there will be many false prophets appearing, watch and see how they tell you. And tell you, if they don't believe them and what they say, you will be lost. But when the last day prophet comes on the scene, if he is truly that prophet, he'll be crying out, get back to the word or you are lost. You won't build on a private revelation or interpretation, but on the word, hallelujah, hallelujah. The false apostles are the grievous wolves that Paul spoke of. He said, once I am gone, they will try to come and claim equal revelation, but their purpose is not to help you, but to destroy you. Acts 20:27-32, for I am not shunned to declare you all the counsel of Yahweh. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the consecrated spirit has made you overseers to feed the assembly of Yahweh, which has purchased with his own blood, praise his name. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, sparing the flock. Also if your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, their own words and ideas, not Yahweh's, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears, and how, brethren, I commend you to Yahweh and to the word of his favor, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Hallelujah. John knew of them also, for he said in 1 John 4:1, many false prophets already gone out into the world. That anti-Messiah spirit was already infiltrating the assembly, and it was doing it right against the word, praise his name. Why, here is where all started, right here in the first assembly age. Already they were denying the word and setting up their own creeds and philosophies instead of the word that is anti-Messiah. For Yahweh Hosha is the word. To be anti-word is to be anti-Messiah. To be anti-word is to be anti-Yahweh Hosha, because the spirit and word are one. If you are anti-word, you have to be anti-Messiah. And if it starts in the first assembly, it'll have to grow until the end when it takes over. And that is exactly what you will see as we cover all the ages. It starts out real small in the Ephesian age and grows in every age until the anti-word, anti-Messiah system takes over entirely. And the infallible ability of the word is repudiated by the false apostles of the false assemblies. Our eternal, righteous, wonderful Heavenly Father, we know we are living in the last times and in the last age. We know that time is short, and Yahweh Hosha the Messiah is going to come back, and people are going to say, wait a little longer, I'm not ready. They're going to say also, Rabbi, Rabbi, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? But he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Help us to be ready and always be ready to meet him when he comes again. We pray you will bless what is said in Yahweh Hosha's name. Hallelujah.